Last time, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We started out with love, and love is the fruit that makes all the other fruit taste good. We have grapes and wild plums on our property. Let me tell you, they are a great fruit, but if they don't have the sugars developed in them, they will make you pucker. Joy, the second fruit listed in Galatians, is defined by Strong's as cheerfulness, that is, calm delight. Joy can be hard to maintain. Calm delight can be hard to maintain. However, perfect love casts out fear, and love thinks no evil. If we have the underlying sugar of love, joy is easier to maintain because we react without fear and we think no evil. In Paul's letter to the churches, he talks about joy being connected to the Holy Ghost. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is essential to growing the fruit of the Spirit. Don't be confused by the words being filled with the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Spirit. Spirit and ghost refer to the same thing. Ghost is King James English. Spirit is modern English. Joy is difficult and even impossible to maintain without the infilling of the Spirit of God. We can try to do it in our flesh, but we will fail in being joyful because we are limited. Paul says in Romans 15:13, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, he says, "And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." The power to have joy comes from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. When we are full of the Spirit of God, we have the power to overcome our natural inclination to fret, fear, be angry, to be bitter, etc. Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others." How do we fulfill the joy of those who instruct us? By having love and unity, by shunning strife, contention, and pride, which is empty, and with humbleness seeking the welfare of others. When we think of it, doesn't this bring joy to any situation? Any family, any team who is unified in purpose without infighting, ladder climbing, drama, and backbiting is a place you want to work or be. Have you ever been on a team that works well, where people are working their own task and helping with the tasks of others? Have you ever been at a get-together and you didn't stay or didn't want to stay because of disunity? My husband and I volunteer in a kitchen at a summer camp each summer. We enjoy it so much. When some people are in the kitchen, it really brings a lot of joy. You're putting out new food on the line. You set the old tray behind you, ready to take it to the dishwashers. And when you turn around, it's already in the sink being washed. Other people you work with, they never get around to doing the dishes. And at the end of the meal, there are old trays that have to be brought back to a huge pile at the sink. Sometimes the dishwashers disappear, and then we stay and finish the dishes. The first situation brings joy naturally because of the unity and pursuit of a goal that serves every member of the team. In the second, joy must come through the honor of serving because the team is not functioning at peak performance. God gets joy. Our pastors and teachers get joy. We get joy when we love others enough to unify with them for the kingdom and serve each other and the lost. It is a place people are naturally drawn to. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." It isn't because they're trying to be the boss. It isn't because they're on a power trip. Because they are helping your joy. Your faith is important, but leadership wants you to have joy. They teach what they do because they think it's best for the kingdom. They think it's best for the body. Paul instructs the church in Rome how to deal when there is a disagreement in the church. If someone thinks you should be doing something and you don't think you have to do it, Chapter 14, verse 15 says, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Paul says, if your brother in Christ says you shouldn't eat that meat because it was offered to idols, and you're doing it anyways because you say, I have liberty in Christ and idols have no power, then you're not walking in love. If you loved your brother, you would say, oh, sure, no problem. I won't eat the meat because I don't want you to be offended or stumble in your walk with the Lord. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It isn't about what I want, but how I can serve my brother, which brings peace and brings joy. Think about what Paul tells the church in Corinth about the church in Macedonia donating money for the church in Jerusalem. In 2 Corinthians 8:2, he says, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. Why is he telling the church in Corinth what the Macedonia church is doing? Because he's saying, look at their example. You don't need wealth to have joy. You need to have generosity and a humble heart of service to have joy. We see it again when Paul talks to the church in Philippi. In 2:2, he says, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Joy comes from being full of the Holy Ghost, which will cause us to walk in humility, looking to serve the body of Christ because of our great love for them and the cause of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. And he continues in chapter 2 to exhort the church in Thessalonica to walk worthy and concluded that they are his glory and joy. In chapter 3, he says that their obedience and faithfulness causes him to thank God again for the joy that Paul says he participates in for their sake. And the joy is their obedience as he goes through affliction and distress because of the gospel. Isn't it frustrating to sacrifice and save and work for something that the next person just ignores, finds no value in, sells or throws it away, or worse yet, just destroys it with carelessness? Likewise, in Hebrews 10:34, Paul commends them for joyfully taking the spoiling of their goods because they have in heaven better and more enduring goods. Paul is consistently telling all the churches, joy comes not from what you have or build, but from whom you build up. If you're like, this sounds great, but how do I get there? Let me share with you a great prayer from Colossians chapter 1. Paul says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Let's pray that together. Lord, I am so thankful for those that are listening to this. God, who want to be obedient and want to walk in your ways. I pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of your will, that they would have wisdom and spiritual understanding. I pray that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I pray that they would be fruitful in every good work and they would be continually increasing in the knowledge of God. I pray that the listener today would be strengthened with all might according to your glorious power, that they would achieve patience and long suffering with joyfulness. God, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray, God, that you would make us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. Thank you, God, for your good gifts. Thank you that you will give to us as we ask. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.